The gift is given. Some have it, some have it not. Little contradiction here. No, what I mean is that we all have all the gifts that we could ever wish for from the beginning as we start here on planet Earth. But the question is, do we use them? And specifically, actually, I was thinking about the gift of having a green thumb. It's a gift that I haven't seen used by too many people, but one of them I knew very well, and that was my mom. She definitely had the gift of the green thumb, and she really didn't know it. It was just natural to her that everything that she took in her hands, everything that she planted, was just thriving most beautifully. I mean, her flower beds in front of our house were the most beautiful in the neighborhood, just as were the geraniums, and her climbing roses on the living room balcony were just gorgeous, lush and full of dark red roses. She had that gift, and she didn't know it. She just planted things, and they came. And neighbors and friends often brought her the plants, which did not do too well in their own home. And she just kept them, you know, like a nursery. She didn't do anything special. She just put them in a place where she thought they would do fine, and a place which she thought was perfect for them, and they all just came back most beautifully. And I remember when Beatrice, that's my sister-in-law, once took my brother to a medium because she wanted to introduce him to this phenomenon, to this interesting spectacle of having contact with the invisible. And so there they were sitting, and the medium was in trance and was speaking, and then suddenly she was speaking about my mom. She said my mom wanted to talk to my brother. So they talked, and my brother asked her where she is and how she's living, and she said that she's very, very happy, and she's living in a little house and with a garden and lots of roses around it. And I thought to myself when I heard it, yeah, I can really see her living a life like that, surrounded by a garden and lots of roses, and just being happy and content. But why did she have that gift? I mean, it's a gift that she used unknowingly, and I think that's for most of us like that. If we are drawn to something, to a talent or something that excites us, we do it most naturally. It comes easy, like with Mozart when he picked up the violin. That wasn't a chore to learn it. It just came natural to him, and so it is with a green thumb. It just comes natural. I know another phenomenon about green thumbs, and that's Findhorn. Findhorn is probably the most spectacular expression of what can be done with plants and with nature. And these three people who started out Findhorn, they really made it spectacular. You see, when you would go now to Findhorn, you would find a gorgeous garden, a beautiful park, but nothing really extraordinary. You know, the flowers are like the flowers everywhere, and the vegetables have the size of vegetables like everywhere. But the three that started it out, they created vegetables that were 10 times as big as normal vegetables, and roses that that even were blooming in winter, in the snow, and very exceptional things, because considering that they were growing all that in a cold area on a Scottish, in a Scottish area near the ocean, where the wind was blowing, the sand was very barren of nutrients, and still they achieved this extraordinary result. They tell us that they had the help of the divas and the nature spirits that told them how to do it and what to do at certain times. And that might well be true, but I just for myself feel and believe that these inspirations that they had and got, they were from their own divine center within themselves. They just gave it another name because they were not aware of that it could be really them. And another aspect of it was that they loved what they were doing. I mean, they were so in love with these projects of planting and growing things, and so they naturally did. And there was a purity and unconditionalness in that love which made the big difference. And I think that was with my mom the same. She just loved flowers, you know. She just couldn't help loving flowers, and they just responded to it. She didn't know, and she didn't have to learn to love them. It was just natural to her. And that is with every gift that I got and I have within myself, because I have all the gifts. I have the gift of growing things. I have the gift of playing music. I have the gift of painting. I have the gift, any gift I can only imagine. It's already within myself. And I can use it, but what it needs is a deep inspiration of love and joy to do it, and then it will be very natural, and then I will be good at it. So the gift, as I said, is already given. The question is, do I want to use it? And which one of the many gifts I have do I want to use? Well, as I can see at the moment, I'm training the gift of speaking, and I do love it, and I'm practicing it, and it's my flower garden at the moment, and I give it my love, and I give it my excitement, and I give it my best, and so it is.
I am Inga, and talk about fasten. What does it really mean? Fasten means eating nothing or very little. There are various kinds of fasting, but my idea is that all without a good conscious choice or a spiritual understanding, all fasting is for nothing. Because I came into this world, and my body, as everybody, is perfect and knows what to do, how to live, what to eat, and what to get. How to get it also. Nowadays, we have various scientists and doctors and the manufacturers. They recommend supplements for diet. But I think the best fasting is just in eating moderate portions, and eating of everything what is available at the place and in the right season. It is good we know how to make the jam, but the fresh fruit, I think, contains better vitamins, is more nourishing for the body than the cooked fruits or treated fruit or conserved something. This also sometimes we read in the descriptions of health in illustrations that to avoid things which are in tins, but to prefer the natural food. I think this is very good. And about fasting, I think it is a good idea. First of all, at that time, we have no desire or get away from the desire to eat, to eat, to eat, and to eat things which we like or think we sometimes, I have the impression the body calls for it. Body calls for some sweet stuff, calls for chocolate, for ice cream. Is it really so? Or when I think my body calls for it, I talk to my body and say, is this what you really want? Or do you need it or not? Then I decide according to what I understand to take it or to leave it behind. This is, belongs all to fasting. And the big point is, which I think we reach in fasting, that one day we can stop eating, we can stop totally to eat. Because I know there are people who live at a normal age and they live without any food. Yes, they are these people. And there is given little publicity about, because then all the manufacturers who produce the food stuff and with great advertisement, and there's also another industry, so how would they do? How would we do? Because then one time they say the earth has not in, will not will be unable to produce is all the food the people on the earth needs. Well, then we need no food if we would could follow that system, or at least try to follow it, or do it in part in portion. Well, there I know that for every difficulty there is a solution, because it depends all what I listen from within and things I am motivated to do. And this is for fasting. Fasting, yes, but also eating in moderate terms and moderate portions, I think, is equal to fasting. For instance, we in the film from the veterinaire in England, Dr. James Harriet, there where he is called, there is a sheep. The sheep, they don't know what to do, is a little bit unhappy. They're standing, what to do, is nothing wrong with it. And he sees things. His idea is, I give him a medicine that the sheep will sleep for 2 days. And in the, give the nature, the inner self of that sheep, the possibility to heal itself. Things which I, with the medicine, at this moment, I wouldn't know how to do. And in fact, he goes back after 3 days, and the sheep is whole and perfect and looks at him and smiles. And also the owner, the farmer, was very happy. This, why not taking examples from nature? This is a, and seeing how animals quickly recover by itself. We know that the dogs, if they are hurt or have something, an animal, they go, they hide somewhere. And so why no, could we not take this as an example instead of running immediately to the pharmacist or the doctor for asking for medicine and pills and so on? Why using more the natural way? Natural way. No, I am also, I agree that not every case is so easily dealt with and solved as I explain it here now. These are only cases, and for everything there is a proper way in doing, and also for fasting. I love you.
Does it really matter? There's a story about Jesus which always fascinated me. And that is the story when Jesus was 12 years old and when he was lost and his parents were searching for him for 3 days. And they were rather worrying, anxious about him. Well, they even returned to Jerusalem, and after 3 days Later, they found him sitting among the great teachers, and he was teaching and listening to them. And then when mother and father, Mary and Joseph, said, "Son, where have you been?" He just said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" I have never understood as a child why this story was so touching me. And studying with the University of Healing, I understand that Jesus was listening within. He was following that which he knew was important. He said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Don't we know that we have to be in our father's house? Does it really matter when somebody else is worrying for us because they forget who they are? I left my family, I left my country because I followed an inner voice. I followed the Father within, God within, the Divine within, because that was a calling that was more important than anything in the world. And the more I understand myself or understood myself, more my family and those around me who first were saying, "What are you doing? Where are you running away from?" could and do understand me. Does it really matter what other people think? When I know who I am and I know what I want to do, everything is in divine order. I had an experience once where I had a kind of sickness or illness, and it looked quite tragical at the moment. And somebody said to me, "Look, would it really matter if you would die?" And I was thinking, yes, why am I worrying? If really I would die, so what? And when I came to this conclusion, to this attitude, and that was really an important change in attitude I came to, not being just so what, but just having an attitude, yeah, if I would die, nothing bad about it. So I left behind the worry, the fear, and I could go within myself and follow what I really wanted to do, to live. The worry was gone. Just with this little example which we heard yesterday from Sylvia, when she was thinking about her parking place, and she had a moment, a thought was slipping in, "Oh, if somebody else takes it." It was a casual worry, which is now exaggerated as a word, worry. But if we just said, "So what? Does it really matter? When I have this "does it really matter" attitude, it works and it falls all into place. So, like Jesus said, I had to be in my father's house. I am in my father's house when I listen within and when I follow what I hear. I've an experience today. We have the grandson from Herb coming to the campus, and we were thinking, where do we put Paul, this young man, to sleep? And we said, "Oh, we might prepare a retreat for him. We might prepare one room in one of the houses." And I thought, well, I'm preparing a retreat for him, making it nice and cozy. And if he wants to be in some other place, does it really matter? I have prepared a room, and I have put my love in it. whatever is right for Paul, that will be happen. Well, I am ready to follow what I hear, and I am about my father's business. I am my father about my father's business, and I follow what I hear. Have a great day.